You're listening to NPR.
Hey, everybody, it's Cardiff, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money. And I'm joined once again by Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR politics correspondent. Danielle, what's going on? Are you panicking?
Over what? Like, what's...
The economy!
Oh, that. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm panicking over at any
fair enough.
Moment.
But... Especially because you've just gotten back from the campaign trail. Yeah, fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, I mean, I was more saying that I haven't seen the new Fast and Furious movie, but...
That is worth panicking over, actually.
Right?
But actually,
anyway.
I'm a little bit worried about our listeners right now because our inbox is blowing up with people worried that there might be a recession on the way.
Right,
you know,
yes.
And a lot of this had to do with the events of last week when the stock market was going down, then it was going up. It was very tumultuous. Other countries were having real economic troubles that might feed back to us. People were kind of freaking out a little bit.
Well, and aside from that, I don't know if you heard, Cardiff,
uh-oh,
but another part of the yield curve inverted.
I had heard,
It was some news, yeah. And people who have been listening to the show happen to know that an inverted yield curve, when it lasts, it has predicted all 7 of the last recessions. So
I know.
I mean, if people are freaking out, I personally blame you.
My fault?
Yep. It's all you. You heard it here first, America.
Yeah. A fair point, and actually, that's a good reason to do this show, which is to clarify a simple point. Yes, I am utterly fascinated by the yield curve. And yes, an inverted yield curve has an excellent recent track record of predicting recessions. But that does not guarantee that the track record will continue forever. So today on the show, an attempt to step back a little, tell you why there are reasons to be nervous about the economy, but also to share a few reasons why it's just not clear where it's headed, and how listeners can prepare for any outcome, good or bad.
You're going to get a warm podcast hug.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
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 Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Domains. Google Domains helps make your business a reality with the tools and partners for building your website like a pro and premium security features included for free. Make it happen at domains.google/NPR.
Okay, nervous listener number one. Here's the question.
Hi, this is Leslie Hyman from San Antonio, Texas, and I have a question. Why is the inverted yield curve a predictor of a recession? Isn't it equally likely to be a self-fulfilling situation, where some investors are worried about the future economy, and then others see the inverted yield curve and start a sell-off, which causes a bigger sell-off, which leads to a recession?
That's such a good question.
What a great question. So to be totally clear, just because something like the yield curve or other indicators have a good track record doesn't mean it's always going to apply. We just think the track record is so good that you shouldn't be dismissive of it.
Right. Absolutely. Now, we should also add, though, like now that we have said, hey, everybody calm down, there are still a few reasons to be nervous. I mean, there are still some things happening. Like, for example, in other countries like Germany and China, there are some troubling signs that, yes, their economies are slowing down. And by the way, our economy is very much linked to other large developed economies. So we can't ignore that.
Yeah. There are other things happening too, though, right?
Yeah.
So economic growth in the U.S. is slowing down.
Yes.
The amount of jobs created every month this year, it's about 160-something thousand, right? That is fewer than last year.
Solid, right? But fewer.
Solid,
yes.
But fewer.
Yes.
So we have to pay attention to these things, right? And yes, we should not get complacent. But at the same time, you know what? The American consumer still spending money. And not because they've stopped saving money, right? They're still saving money. It's just that a lot more people are getting jobs, and so there's more money to be spent. That is a healthy sign, and that is still happening. So we don't know what's going to happen. We just know what has happened to this point.
Okay. But hold on. We haven't really answered Leslie's question here, because she's asking,
true,
like, does talking about the inverted yield curve as a predictor of recession itself increase the chance of a recession?
Possibly is the answer.
Like,
right?
Is it that if enough people freak out about it and talk about it and go on about it, then maybe it causes me to spend less money next month on clothes or food or whatever, which in its own tiny, tiny, tiny way maybe contributes to a slowdown?
It could. I mean, it's absolutely the case that the economy is partly about psychology. Not totally, but partly, which is also a good reason that out of guilt we're doing this episode so that people don't associate us with saying, oh, for sure, a recession's on the way. We don't think that's actually the case. We just don't know.
Right.
Right.
And this gets at another important point, which is if we have another recession coming, it isn't necessarily going to be like the last one, which did reflect something that was fundamentally wrong in the economy. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean the next...
It was a financial crisis.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. It doesn't mean that this next recession is going to be as long or as deep as the last one, which was really bad, as I know you all remember.
Yeah, and I'll end our answer to this question on an actually positive note, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is that, yeah, okay, it could be self-fulfilling in the wrong direction, but you could also get the reverse result, which is that policymakers are now paying attention to the inverted yield curve, and they might move more aggressively to stop a recession from coming than they had in the past. For example, the Federal Reserve has already started lowering interest rates, and the president and maybe some other people in Congress are at least contemplating another tax cut to boost the economy as well. Hard to say that any of that's going to happen, but they're talking about it, so policymakers might move.
Sure.
Okay, second question.
Hi, this is Nicole from Antioch, Illinois. I was hit hard by the last recession, and now that the yield curve has inverted again, I'm wondering how someone like me could prepare for another recession.
So what you first want to do is a bank run. You want to go to your, the nearest branch.
Don't do any of that, people. She's joking.
Sorry.
Yeah. First
sorry.
Of all, see the answer to question one.
Yes.
Right? But second of all, it is a good question. And even if we are in the best of times, even if the economy is poised to grow a lot, there is still some wisdom in being prepared for the worst situation, right?
Sure, yes. I mean, recessions happen. It's just a sort of fundamental thing that happens in our economy. Business cycles go up and down. But, I mean, the thing about it is that preparing for another recession, to me, looks an awful lot like what you might want to do anyway. I mean, there's a reason that you are often counseled by personal finance people to have, you know, 3 to 6 months or however many months of emergency savings, for example.
Like, so that you can weather the storm
right.
if you do lose your job or something like that.
Right. And whether that job loss is created by a recession or not. I mean, it's just so you can deal with whatever bumps might be in your particular road. I mean, similarly, you know, you have a bunch of money saved up in your 401k. It's a good idea to not withdraw it.
Don't panic sell all your stuff.
Yes, it's a good idea with your 401k to just set it and forget it. I mean, the other thing is also that, you know, our listener is asking about preparing for another recession. We've talked a little bit about job loss here. I guess one thing you could do, you know, if you are worried about your job for whatever reason, make yourself indispensable. It's possible for you to go out, get some new skills, to make sure your resume is up to date, get some new certifications, that sort of thing. It's the sort of thing where you can really point to it to your bosses or whoever and say, yes, you really need me here.
Yeah, that's great advice. Never a bad idea to have a plan. Keep that resume updated. Keep looking around. Keep your contacts updated. And I'll add a couple more things. First, we recognize that it's just not always possible for families to take these precautionary measures. I mean, if you're already struggling to pay rent or to feed your kids, it's not going to be easy to save for a long emergency. We have to recognize that. And that also gets us to our final suggestion. And it's not the kind of thing that has an immediate payoff, but it's still not a terrible idea, which is you can call your local political representatives and
right.
you can make it clear to them that you care about the business cycle, that you want policymakers locally and in Congress and in the presidency who are going to keep the economy going, who believe in a really strong, vigorous economic expansion and who make that a priority, and you can make it your priority, okay? So if you want the right policymakers in place, like, get involved. That's cool, too.
Who would have thought politics and economics are actually related to each
other? This is why you're here, Danielle Kurtzleben.
I get it. I get it now.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Rachel Cohn, fact-checked by Emily Lang, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.